Welcome to the Right Take Podcast, news, ideas, and conversations at the intersection of politics and culture, a project of the David Horowitz Freedom Center. I will be your host, Mark Tapson. Thanks again for joining me at the Right Take Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Tapson. Today, we're going to dive into a controversy swirling around billionaire rapper and fashion mogul Kanye West, or I should say the artist formerly known as Kanye West, because a year ago he had his name legally changed from Kanye to just Ye. I can't get used to that, though, so I'm going to keep calling him Kanye. I hope he won't feel misnomered or misgendered or otherwise misidentified by that. Anyway, he was at the center of a surge of progressive outrage last week after debuting his latest fashion collection in Paris. His line included sweatshirts and t-shirts emblazoned with the slogan "White Lives Matter" on the back in large font. Now, I know conservatives have mixed opinions about Kanye. Yes, he's unpredictable. He's strange, egotistical, sometimes comically erratic. He's bipolar. He made the tragic mistake of having children with one of the man-hating Kardashian harpies. But forget all that melodrama, put all that judgment aside, and just focus for a moment on the courage it takes for a famous black man to unveil a clothing line in a major fashion show in Paris that boldly proclaims white lives matter. I use the word courage because I can't think of any bigger target, culturally speaking, to put on your back than a White Lives Matter t-shirt, apart from maybe a bright red MAGA cap, which has literally invited violence in the past from triggered leftists, because the left doesn't want America to be great. They want America to be just another satellite of the European Union. Capitalist America is the fount of all historical evil and oppression, they believe, and therefore they must be cut down to size and fundamentally transformed, as Barack Obama put it, from the leading actor on the world stage to just another ensemble player in a more equitable, socialist, globalist society ruled by a totalitarian elite. As for White Lives Matter, it's truly tragic that our culture has reached such a frenzy of openly anti-white racism that stating that white lives matter, or all lives matter, is considered hate speech. In any case, for a very high-profile figure in pop culture, a self-made billionaire black man, to reject the victimhood of identity politics and publicly display that message all over his fashion designs takes courage. Just like it took courage for Kanye to openly associate, as he has in the past, with Donald Trump, whom the left considers literally Hitler. So the fashion establishment had a collective meltdown following West's collection. Remember, this is the same fashion establishment that is so politically petty that for 4 years it refused to put Melania Trump, an actual model, unlike her predecessor Michelle Obama, on the cover of any fashion magazine. Michelle O was on the cover of Vogue 3 times, in addition to Elle magazine, In Style, Glamour, Redbook, and others, more than 30 magazine covers. Gabriella Carifa Johnson, a global contributing fashion editor at large for Vogue, which doesn't even sound like a real job, clutched her pearls on Instagram, calling Kanye's t-shirts, quote, "pure violence," unquote. You know, a major part of the left's success in controlling the political discourse in this country is its ingenious manipulation of the language to suit its political agenda. The left has redefined the word violence not just to mean the infliction of physical harm, but to mean words, specifically words that stand in opposition to the woke agenda. Simply stating that only women can give birth, for example, is now considered violence against trans men. Simply saying the phrase "white lives matter" is considered violence against blacks, and so on. Meanwhile, the left's actual violence toward political opponents has been redefined as self-defense against the purported fascism of the right. That's the tortured logic that the left uses to justify their own fascist violence toward their political opponents. Okay, back to Vogue editor Carifa Johnson. She continued her condemnation of Kanye's fashion line by writing, quote, "As we all work through the trauma of this moment, especially those of us who suffered in that room, let's have some grace for one another," unquote. Trauma. Suffering. a t-shirt slogan declaring that White Lives Matter is traumatizing. It inflicts suffering on this unimaginably privileged global editor for Vogue magazine. What a coddled existence Gabriella Carifa Johnson must live to feel traumatized by a t-shirt declaring that everybody's life matters. This is the neo-Marxist insanity that infects our culture now and that is making any racial progress in this country impossible. How can there be anything but a Grand Canyon-like chasm between whites and blacks in America when the mere public acknowledgement that White Lives Matter too is denounced as hate speech? By the way, British Vogue editor Edward Innenfull also denounced the t-shirts as, quote, inappropriate, unquote. I guess we should be grateful he didn't call it violence. Fashion critic Vanessa Friedman of the propaganda outlet The New York Times also wrote a piece blasting Kanye's collection, of course, with the headline, "There is no excuse for Ye's White Lives Matter shirt." She noted that White Lives Matter is a phrase that the Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center have called hate speech and attributed to white supremacists. So in other words, if you dare to state the simple truth that white lives matter or that all lives matter, you apparently are a white supremacist. This New York Times critic wrote, quote, "Does Kanye truly believe he can appropriate the language of racial violence?" Unquote. Racial violence. She went on to say that Kanye doesn't care about the collateral damage or the violence this could feed. Wearing a t-shirt that says White Lives Matter is going to incite violence against non-whites? I'm pretty sure it's more likely to incite violence against the person wearing the shirt. But this is the leftist narrative, that deviating from that narrative is the equivalent of inflicting physical harm against so-called oppressed people. This narrative is grotesque and destructive, but that's the point. The point is to undermine and ultimately destroy the supposedly oppressive power structures of an unjust, inequitable, white supremacist society, which the left believes this country to be. Now, let me make a quick aside, if I may, about this demonstrably false notion that America is a white supremacist society. If it is that, it's the most inept failure of a systemically racist society in history. Blacks today occupy positions of power and success at every level of society, all the way up to and including the presidency. Black men and women are doctors, surgeons, scientists, judges, including Supreme Court justices, professors, university deans, mayors, governors, senators, small business owners, CEOs of major corporations, movie stars, media moguls, TV hosts, the list goes on endlessly. If this is a systemically racist country, it's a complete failure as one. The white supremacists who supposedly run America are clearly inept at white supremacing. Speaking of racial supremacist movements, in a subsequent Instagram post, Kanye sparked more leftist apoplexy by slamming the Black Lives Matter movement, declaring, quote, "Everyone knows that Black Lives Matter was a scam," unquote. He's right. Although this declaration is outright blasphemy as far as the left is concerned, Black Lives Matter is a neo-Marxist revolutionary movement that doesn't give a damn about black lives except the few it can exploit to attack white capitalist power structures. Kanye was right to call it a scam because it's done nothing for the black community but to enrich its leaders, Black Lives Matter leaders, who openly call themselves trained Marxists. In an interview with Fox News' Tucker Carlson following all this controversy, Kanye said, "I had someone call me last night and said anybody wearing a White Lives Matter shirt is going to be greenlit. That means they're going to beat them up if they wear it. I'm like, you know, okay, greenlight me then." Now, you could say that Kanye is just being Kanye, that he's being provocative for the sake of being provocative, that he's not exactly someone conservatives should be holding up as any kind of role model. But listen to this. When Tucker asked him about the reactions he's gotten to a pro-life image that Kanye designed and wears around his neck, Kanye said without hesitation, "I don't care about people's responses." That's the kind of fearlessness that will end cancel culture. That's the kind of courage that we should all be exhibiting in the face of the bullying, totalitarian mob mentality that dominates popular culture today. It's especially meaningful coming from a black man who is a major pop culture figure, because the left hates nothing more than a high-profile race traitor, which is how they smear him, a minority member whose vote Democrats feel they own, who steps off the Democrat plantation and thinks and speaks and acts for himself and makes no apologies for it. Whatever you may think about Kanye West, unlike 95% of celebrities who live in the most hermetically sealed ideological bubble in the world, he has the integrity and open-mindedness to think for himself and to stand by his opinions. That doesn't mean we always have to agree with him, but with this White Lives Matter controversy at least, he has done something impactful for the counterculture and the black community, and he had the courage not to back down or grovel in apology. This collectivist, cultural Marxist worldview, which divides us and pits us against each other and rubs raw the resentments of the people, as the leftist agitator Saul Alinsky put it, is destroying this country. And that's the intent, of course, to bring down the whole grand edifice built by American exceptionalism and to erect a socialist utopia in its place. It's corrosive, subversive, destructive, satanic, the antithesis of the true, the good, and the beautiful. And the culture is the battleground where we must put on the full armor of God and make our stand to take this country back. So I say, bravo, Kanye West. Now, all that having been said, Kanye sparked another controversy as well over the weekend with a purportedly anti-Semitic tweet that many on both the left and the right seized on to attack him as an anti-Semite. Twitter and Instagram even suspended his accounts because of it. Now, let me make it clear that I consider Jew hatred to be a grotesque evil. But I will be honest, I don't know the whole story on this tweet, so I'm going to reserve judgment about Kanye until I do. First, you have to cut through the character assassination to get to the truth. For now, let me just say that I'll be discussing this with today's guest coming up next on the Right Take Podcast. My guest today on The Right Take is none other than the founder of the David Horowitz Freedom Center himself, far-left radical turned conservative firebrand, and the author of many best-selling books, most recently I Can't Breathe, How a Racial Hoax is Killing America, but with a new one coming in just a couple of months titled Final Battle, The Next Election Could Be the Last. David Horowitz, welcome to The Right Take Podcast.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks for taking the time today. David, let's get right into this Kanye West controversy, if we could, or controversies, plural. In my opening remarks, I addressed the courage and the independent thought that Kanye exhibited with his Paris fashion line last week, which triggered the cancel culture mob. His fashion line featured t-shirts and sweatshirts emblazoned with the slogan, White Lives Matter.
Horrors!
Yes, the ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center and similar organizations claim that this phrase, White Lives Matter, is rooted in white supremacy. Is it a white supremacist?
Well, let's face what's happened to our country. The Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL are fascists. They're part of a lynch mob, the national lynch mob, which was formed within the bowels of the Democrat Party and really took off in a national hysteria with the criminals of Black Lives Matter. And it's designed to extinguish every patriotic, conservative, freedom-loving voice. And they do it by character assassination. And we saw it with Trump. Now they're accusing Kanye West of being anti-Semitic, which is exactly what they did to Trump, and they called him a white supremacist. Both obvious lies by people who are racist themselves. I mean, the Democrat Party's official policy, equity, is racism. It's anti-constitutional. And that's the real agenda here. The reason they want to conduct a witch hunt, there's no other way to put it, conduct a lynching and driving out of the public sphere. And the reason they're attacking white people is because the founders were white and their real target is America. They want a communist state. There's really no particular difference between communism and fascism anymore. They're all globalists. There used to be a distinction between national socialism and international socialism, but it's all about one-party states and totalitarian regimes which want to control everything you say. And anybody who knows anything about Kanye West knows he is a unique artist whose lifeblood is freedom. For those who can take it, there's a... I just always amazes me when I watch it. Video that Kanye West did. It's called I Love It. And it's very vulgar. And a lot of people will find it very distasteful. But it's all about freedom. That's what it's about. And once you understand that, you see, you know, the genius of this creative artist. For supporting Trump, Kanye's family has been destroyed. The Clintons personally went after Kim Kardashian to destroy her support for Kanye. But everybody can see it. Look, I think it's today in the news. Google banned Trump. He can't reach his followers. That's fascism. And when you combine the fact that they're all supporters, the Biden administration, of Hamas and the terrorists who want to exterminate the Jews, they're Nazis. Anybody should see this. Unfortunately, Republicans are always trying to please everybody, especially the ones, the people who want to hang them from the nearest lamppost. So we've gotten a lot of flack at Front Page for defending Kanye, which I make no apologies for. This is the first duty of every red-blooded American, is to defend Trump and defend Kanye West. These are, you know, it's probably their egos. They have very large egos, obviously, that allows them to have this kind of courage to stand up against the wall, the world. You know, most of us, look, we've all been hurt. Anybody who's a public conservative has been hurt by this fascist culture that the Democrats have brought in, has lost money, has lost opportunities, has lost audiences, has had to pay lawyers large sums of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars, to protect themselves. But nobody has as much to lose as Trump and Kanye West. I mean, these are self-made billionaires who could lose everything. It's like, you know, Mike Lindell is another example, who they've gone after to destroy. These people have, you know, are great creators, and everything they've striven for in their lives, everything they've produced, could be taken away from them by this leftist lynch mob.
Well, the politics of personal destruction is really, that's really at the heart of the leftist strategy anyway, right?
I prefer character assassination. Personal destruction, I think, is a Clinton term. Character assassination, that's what these people do. They're disgusting, they're evil, and they have to be defeated. And the only way they can be defeated is if people who love this country and the Constitution will stand together and not be divided. I mean, I'm having to deal with old friends who just gone off the deep end. Kanye West is he's a self-identified Jew. He's not an anti-Semite, for crying out tears. And he did make a mistake, and he said in his infamous tweet that they're all seizing on, that he's got to go to DEFCON 3 with the Jews. What he was referring to was DEFCON, which is defense against. That's what that means. It's a military term. They grade the threat, the world, the global threat to America in terms of five levels. There's DEFCON 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 is right before the nuclear war. So he was using that analogy because he's under attack. And everybody knows it's so easy to destroy somebody, particularly with the internet. I mean, all the freedom, you have to think on your feet, you have to mentally assess which of your words or phrases or characterizations can be utterly distorted to demonize you. You'll often be surprised by the lengths that they go to lie, to destroy you. I mean, the idea that Trump was a white supremacist is a joke. It's stupid. He was a liberal. In the old sense, a liberal when liberals were liberal, not when they were fascist the way they are now.
Exactly. You know, Kanye is a very idiosyncratic character. He's quite a unique creator. He's bipolar and everything else. I think sometimes he has difficulty expressing himself in a way that doesn't get the left targeting him.
But it's there. I mean, the Tucker interview, it starts off with the reality that they're trying to kill him.
Yeah. Many conservatives are reluctant to embrace Kanye, obviously. Do you think that conservatives are letting the perfect be the enemy of the good by refusing to...
I don't think it works that way. I think that there are appeasers. But basically, they don't, it's unpleasant for them. They like intellectual games, arguments. Kurt Schlichter, who's pretty funny, had a racist tweet in which he compared Kanye, Republicans folded, had a habit of folding before blacks. I don't know if he used that term, but that's what he meant. Kanye reminded him of a 12-year-old con man. Now, come on. This guy built a billion-dollar industry out of several levels of the culture. He's in the high couturier culture. He's in the rap culture. This is somebody that, it's really interesting, these intellectuals, these mobsters at the New Yorker and all those New York publications, Vogue and whatnot, they all went, their culture celebrates artists who were almost indefensible for their creativity and freedom, like the Marquis de Sade. It's a big hero. But Kanye West, comes from a community. I remember 30 years ago saying, I can say that's what's happening to the black community is treated to an intellectual terror worse by 100 miles than McCarthyism. Whereas if you're black and you're a black conservative, you're a dead person, essentially, publicly. And I realized that I could say that till I was blue in the face, and it wasn't going to make a big difference because I'm white. And Kanye West is doing that and saying it. And there are lots, one of the most refreshing aspects of our national crisis and darkness is the way younger and smarter black intellectuals are standing up, taking the heat and throwing it right back in their face. But you have to recognize how White Lives Matter is a genius idea to do it at a Paris fashion show. All Lives Matter got somebody killed not that long ago, a couple of years ago, by these Black Lives Matter criminals.
And what does it say about our culture that that a statement like "all lives matter," which should seem to be self-evident, a statement like that triggers the right so much? Triggers the left so much.
You guys hate white people. The only race war in this country, a serious one, is the race war against white America. And it's against white America, not because of there are any, on the fringes of society, there are these kooks that we're always having to stamp out in our comment section at Front Page. But it's because they hate America. And America was founded by white people. And black people are free because of white people, not because of black people. Kanye's been torched for saying that slavery was voluntary. And what he obviously meant by that is that every slave who was shipped to America or other countries was enslaved by black Africans and freed by white Christians. I say that as a Jew. That's the reality. In England and America, it's like Don, how do you pronounce his last name? Lemon or Lemon? I prefer Lemon, but whatever.
I thought it was Lemon for the longest time. In fact, I even appeared on the Don Lemon show once, and at the time thought it was Don Lemon.
How pretentious! Lemon. Come on! But he was silent when confronted. He asked, well, shouldn't the Crown of England pay reparations? England led the entire world in ending slavery. I think it was in the 1830s or whatever. They had to send gunboats into Africa to force black African kings to give up their slaves to end the slave trade. And this woman who was the English woman who confronted Lamont said, you have to go to the beginning of the supply chain. And the supply, if slavery is anybody's original sin, it's black Africa's. Slavery existed in Africa for 1,000 years before a white person set foot on the continent. That's the reality. And 360,000 white Americans mainly white Americans, gave their lives to free the slaves. And this quest for reparations, nobody has the cojones to say this, but it's just racial extortion. If you want to sue somebody for reparations for slavery, go sue the Confederacy, because they're the ones who defended it. You don't sue the government that sacrificed 360,000 lives and untold fortunes of our national treasure in order to free black slaves. There's no case that I know of in all of history of one race making such a sacrifice to free another. And yet white people are, and they're very stoical because they accept all this hatred that's directed at them, that's completely unjustified. Every black in America who's descended from slaves owes their freedom to Thomas Jefferson and Abraham Lincoln and those 360,000 Union soldiers. Where's the gratitude for that? I'm often quoted, that line is quoted by these Nazis to show that I'm a racist. I mean, it's just a fact. It's just the fact. Black freedom was bought by white blood. I would have a certain degree of embarrassment if I were black at what some of the black community, especially those involved in the Democrat Party, say about white people and so-called white supremacy and so forth.
Speaking of racial extortion, in a separate but related Kanye controversy last week, he also tweeted that the Black Lives Matter movement is a scam. I mean, that's pretty much blasphemy.
That's true. Everybody spouting this Black Lives Matter hysteria, hatred of white people. It's really a Ku Klux Klan level racism that they have. He calls office managers for Black Lives Matter, which I think is quite right. Well, Black Lives Matter is officially endorsed by the Democrat Party. Bunch of racists. Where's the outrage, America? Better get it going soon or we're going to lose this country.
David, call me crazy, but it doesn't seem to me like the left's obsession with identity politics and anti-racism and diversity and all the rest is actually improving race relations in the country. But that's not really the aim, is it?
You have to marvel at the absence of virulent white racism. Yeah, I mean, there are these fringe characters that nobody can name. Richard Spencer. I mean, there are non-entities. They hold a demonstration, and there's 1,000 people. They get 12 people to demonstrate, and 1,000 people protest them. But, I mean, whites are long-suffering here. When you consider what white America has done for black people, they're just long-suffering. You would think that this would ignite some racism, other than this, the snootiness of a Kurt Schlichter.
Saul Alinsky, who is arguably the most influential strategist for the left since Karl Marx, said that in order for revolution to take place, it first has to be stoked by rubbing raw the resentments of the people. And isn't that what Black Lives Matter?
Pretty honest when you come down to it. It's very obvious, but you don't find many Republicans or conservatives saying this. And that's because they don't want to embarrass their enemies. They want to make nice. You can't make nice with people who want to destroy you. And the Democrat Party obviously wants to destroy everybody who disagrees with it. That's what this is all about. I mean, Trump is the symbol of it. You know, whatever you think of Trump, the effort to stamp him out, to abuse our intelligence agencies and our police, our FBI, and override the constitutional restraints is startling when you think about it. There's never been something like this in America. Joe Biden is the first overt racist. Well, no, Woodrow Wilson was a racist. But his government is the first racist government, national government in our history.
You know, you hear all the time from the left that America is a systemically racist society.
Bullshit. I mean, come on. Systemic racism is outlawed by the Civil Rights Act and the 14th Amendment, but recently by the Civil Rights Act. So every time you turn on the tube and there's some crisis in one of these Democrat-run cities, it's run by a black mayor. You have all these black congressmen. You have all these black lawyers. If there were systemic racism in any American institution, you think there wouldn't be a tsunami of lawsuits and damages collected for violating the clear intent of the law, which says institutional racism is outlawed? Of course there would. There aren't such suits because there is no systemic racism. Why aren't Republicans saying these things? While America burns. In 1860, just when the Civil War was getting kicked off, there were 500,000 free blacks. How is America, even then, a white supremacist nation when there are 500,000 free blacks? doesn't make any sense whatsoever. There was always a struggle in America from the very beginning, from the Revolutionary Proclamation that all men are created equal, between the slavers of the South and the free states of the North. Slavery was ended in like 20 years in the North and something like 76 years in the South. And yet you know, people stand idly by where racial arsonists like the despicable Al Sharpton talk about 400 years of slavery in America. I mean, it's a monstrous lie.
To get back to Kanye for a second, what does it mean to the Black community and to the country at large when you have a high-profile Black man like Kanye West, a billionaire?
Risk everything.
Who rejects the victimhood narrative of the Democrat Party.
And I think he resonates in the Black. That's why they hate him. That's why they want to destroy him. He's a major, major threat to the Democrat Party. And they're racists. That's why Kanye is. Of course, you know, there are plenty of articulate, but even I was shocked to see that P. Diddy Combs was supporting Kanye, but that should tell you an awful lot. And you see, and Stephen A. Smith was having second thoughts. It's quite amazing. It's just thrilling to watch. The comeuppance of these Democrat Party racists is going to, ironically, going to be the Black community and the Hispanic community.
And just to clarify something that you did bring up earlier about the purportedly anti-Semitic tweets that Kanye sent. So you don't believe, just to clarify, that Kanye West is an anti-Semite? Because I think this is an issue that the right is seizing upon as well as the left, you know, to sort of distance themselves from Kanye.
He's as much an anti-Semite as Trump is a white nationalist. It's complete. It's just made up stuff. It's what these people will stop at nothing to destroy a decent human being if the decent human being opposes.
What is the left's ultimate goal here? I mean, they seem to be
destruction of America. They're communists. And so
but then what?
First of all, the intellectual level in our country of people in power these days is that it's an abysmal level. It's lowest level in our history. I have never seen such semi-morons as the president's press secretary, for example, operating there in the open and exposing herself every time she opens her mouth, that this is way over her head, what's going on. And you see it everywhere. And look, it's a product of our destroyed universities. I wrote in the 90s, when did I write these books? No, in the first decade of this century, I wrote 5 books about the leftist takeover of the universities and turning them into one-party states. These are not educational institutions anymore. They're indoctrination and recruitment centers for a racist Democrat Party. There are no, you know, 95% of college students will go through 4 years of college without encountering a conservative adult. And renegade conservatives like Bill Kristol sat on, you know, boards. He was on the boards of universities and did nothing while it was happening. The complacency of conservatives has jeopardized the whole future of this country. There should be a defund movement. Harvard, Yale, these are institutions that turn out trashy Black racists like Elie Mystal, like Joyanne Reed. They all have Harvard degrees. Mystal has a Harvard law degree. It's the, you know, and these administrators at Harvard and Yale, they tolerate. I think, you know, the worm is turning now when you have these judges who will not take Yale law school graduates. I mean, that is such a breakthrough right there. We have to restore standards in this country. Standards are not racist, as the left claims. What's racist is the anti-standard crowd. They don't like standards because the standards don't come out equal. They don't come out equal not because of any discrimination. They don't come out equal because you have a large percentage of the black population does not have two-parent families. Everybody knows this. Obama's even said it. That's the source of black poverty, mainly. Failure for two-parent families and give their kids a head start in the world.
Exactly. Speaking of restoring standards, do you think we've lost higher education and public education and that our alternatives?
Totally. I couldn't recommend a school. I actually did once recommend a leftist school. I don't know what's happened to it since I was there, but I recommended Kenyon. I thought that the student body there was very refreshing. I think I've spoken on 400 campuses, so I think I know what I'm talking about.
Do you think we've, in terms of losing, or to follow up on losing education, have we basically lost the culture and need to create a parallel culture of our own, an alternative culture? Or is there any hope of ever, quote unquote, taking the culture back?
Well, we're doing it. I mean, you know, Greg Gutfeld is beating all those leftist, unfunny comedians. I have to tell you, I have never laughed at a Stephen Colbert joke, never laughed at a Sarah Silverman joke or Trevor Noah joke. These are not funny people, but, you know, their politics keep their careers alive just as they destroy the careers of conservatives. Let me say, I'm not prejudiced because of their ideology. They're just not funny. I like Lewis Black, and he's pretty left, but he's funny. I think it's really significant. Part of the revolt in our country against these fascists is the world of comedians, because it's a direct threat. I mean, laughs are often built out of saying something that's just so outrageous, no one would think to say it. And they're like,
you can't do that anymore.
Well, Bill Burr is doing it. But Dave Chappelle, I mean, there are, you know, I don't agree with everything. They're on the left, but they're hilarious and right to the point and very, very courageous.
And that's the kind of courage we need, isn't it? To cancel culture is to...
You got to just stand up for the unpopular opinions and not be sucked into this malarkey about how it's racist or transphobic. You can't have men competing against women. It's not fair.
I loved what Kanye said in the Tucker Carlson interview when Tucker asked him what kinds of reactions he had been getting to the pro-life emblem that he wears around his neck, the ultrasound image. And he said, and Kanye just said, "I don't care about people's responses or reactions." And he said it so sincerely and with such conviction.
Yeah, no, well, it's obvious that he's willing to, you know, face the world.
I think that's what it's going to take. That's the kind of courage that it's going to take.
Yes, exactly. I've been saying for decades that to win this battle, conservatives have got to stop being scared of being wounded or scarred. They got to get used to the fact that the other side is going to draw blood. You know, I never encourage people to do something that they're not mentally strong enough to do. And I never put them down. But, you know, we have, you run for public office and you're a congressman, you don't have any excuse. You have a responsibility to go in their face.
And Kanye doesn't apologize either. And that's another thing we need to stop doing is apologizing.
Yeah, why? Exactly. Why would a conservative apologize for defending the greatest country that was ever created?
Well, that right there is a pretty triggering statement, David.
You know, I had this moment. I mean, you know, you do things and you don't always reflect on them. Or sometimes it takes you years to think of what you've been doing and assess it. And back in 1999, I had this realization. I was walking on a Berkeley street, and it suddenly occurred to me that hating white people is a politically correct idea. Because I had been to a lot of universities and seen it for myself. And I lost my New York publisher. They said, we'll never publish a book with that title because they didn't want to offend Cornel West and what's his name at Harvard. But it doesn't matter. But at the same time, so this book became Hating Whitey and other Progressive Causes. And while I was, before it was actually published, I was, the election took place of 2000. I had, in the Bush election, I'd raised a lot of money for Bush. It's the only time I ever did anything like that. And I was invited to the White House and to their Hanukkah party. While I was thinking about publishing this book, it suddenly dawned on me, if I publish this book, I'm not going to get any invitations to the White House. And then I realized that I had lived my whole life not thinking that way, that is, not worrying about invitations to the White House, just saying what I saw. So that was kind of a belated revelation for me. But it shows how long this atmosphere has been going, how addicted to it the left is. It's just so destructive.
Can you give us a spoiler-free preview of your upcoming book, Final Battle?
Yeah, it's been delayed by supply chain issues. It'll be a Newsmax Humanics book. It's a narrative of the Trump years. And it shows that everything that the Democrat Party, every major drive of the Democrat Party for the last decade really has been to establish a one-party state.
So as things stand now, the book Final Battle is due out in January.
I think it's one of my better books.
Good. That'll be something to look forward to. David Horowitz, thanks so much for coming on the Right Take podcast. Keep up the courageous work, please.
All right, Mark. Thank you.
The Right Take with Mark Tapson is a project of the David Horowitz Freedom Center and Front Page Magazine. Unauthorized reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.